Natural disasters and national emergencies can strike anywhere and anytime, with little or no warning, leaving chaos and destruction in their wake. But amidst the devastation is a beacon of hope and a symbol of unwavering support, the Red Castle of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
We always live kind of in disbelief that it's not going to happen to us.
We're protecting American citizens. We're giving them the tools to help them protect themselves.
When you are affected by a disaster, it can be very traumatizing.
Our sole intent is to get folks back to their pre-disaster way of life.
Welcome to Corps Chronicles, Stories from the Heartland, where we bring you the history of the Kansas City District, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. This month, we'll learn about the vital role our district plays in disaster readiness, response, and recovery. Join us as we explore the incredible stories of the unsung heroes who stand ready to step in and help, no matter where or when disaster strikes.
I'm Jed Knieven. I'm the Chief of Readiness and Contingency Operations here for the Kansas City District.
My name is Rick Wechselbaum. I'm an Emergency Management Specialist with the Kansas City District Corps of Engineers, and I'm responsible for the National Emergency Preparedness Program.
Mike Doolin, Emergency Management Specialist with the Kansas City District Corps of Engineers. I'm the Flood Control and Coastal Emergencies Program Manager.
Diana McCoy. I'm the Chief of Public Affairs for the Kansas City District. Prior to coming into this role, I was an emergency management specialist in our readiness and contingency operations office.
My name is Vira Dobbins. My position was emergency management specialist.
My name is Marjorie DeBrott, and when I started in emergency management, I was the natural disaster program manager. And at a later time, I became the chief of emergency management in Kansas City District.
There are two events in recent history which influenced how the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the federal government as a whole respond to national emergencies and natural disasters: the September 11th terrorist attacks and Hurricane Katrina. These devastating events left local communities, states, and the entire nation in a state of shock. Both events prompted a review and rewrite of the National Response Plan, which would eventually become the National Response Framework.
Our role and what FEMA is asking us to do has broadened really since 9/11 and Katrina. And a big part of it is that recognition that natural disasters do exceed capabilities of local governments very quickly, and that there is a federal role in helping to come in, respond to, and recover from those.
Marge DeBrott, a former Kansas City District employee and a USAIS headquarters employee during the aftermath of both September 11th and Hurricane Katrina, helped to rewrite the National Response Plan after both events.
Following 9/11, headquarters loaned me to the then Office of Homeland Security, and we reviewed all the lessons learned from 9/11 to come up with the National Response Plan. And then in August of 2005 was when Hurricane Katrina hit. So then, following the problems that happened in Katrina, I got called back, and this time I led the group to rewrite the National Response Plan, and we were able to incorporate things like happened, lessons learned, like a lot of the people in Katrina, the older, stayed in their homes because they wouldn't leave their homes because they couldn't take their pets with them. And a lot of the people perished because they couldn't, the government didn't have things set up to handle pets. Well, that was a change that was made, so now when there is a shelter set up for people, there is a shelter set up adjacent to it so they can bring their pets with them.
Today, after an emergency has been declared, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers works under the direction of FEMA to support local and state governments under the National Response Framework and the Stafford Act. Under this authority, response to an emergency or disaster starts at the local level and must work its way up before federal assistance can be provided.
The levels of response, again, they'll start at the local level and work their way up through the county, through the state, and so on up to federal. When those come into play, our sole intent is to get folks back to their pre-disaster way of life. But we are involved in that full spectrum of response and recovery.
Once an emergency has worked its way up to the federal level, FEMA takes over the response and recovery efforts. Under the National Response Framework, there are 15 emergency support functions. Each function has a coordinating agency and supporting agencies. Coordinating agencies are responsible for their emergency support function, but work under the direction of FEMA. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is the coordinating agency for emergency response function number 3, Public Works and Engineering.
And each federal agency has a responsibility to support FEMA when they ask us to. And then they assign agencies to cover certain functions. And they have 15 emergency support functions under the response plan. We're responsible for ESF3, which is engineering and public works.
But you have a lead agent, like the Corps is the lead for ESF3, public works and engineering. Any other federal agency that has similar authorities that can help is a support agency. Like GSA could support us, USDA was a support agency. So there's certain things that the Corps would take the lead, but if the Corps needed any help in doing stuff, they could reach out to another agency that had the capability to support you. So that's the whole theory. That's how it's supposed to work.
There are several ways the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers supports FEMA during the response and recovery phase after a disaster. These include providing temporary emergency power, debris management, temporary housing and critical public facilities, temporary roofing, infrastructure assessment, and support to urban search and rescue.
Typically, all the support that we provide is supplemental, and it's generally temporary in nature. We support public entities. And so a lot of our rules are written that we interact directly with the state, but we work all the way down to the local level. For FEMA, it's more focused, right? And so a lot of our activities will bleed from response to recovery, but they can ask us to pretty much do anything. And if we believe that we have the capability and the technical know-how to do it, we will generally accept those missions. It just depends on what they're asking us to do, what recovery looks like. But the goal is to do it as quickly as possible so folks can kind of resume their normal lives.
One of the largest missions after a national emergency or natural disaster is the removal of debris from the affected communities. Within the Readiness and Contingency Operations Office in the Kansas City District is a team of volunteers who specialize in debris management. This team is known as the Debris Planning and Response Team, or Debris PRT.
Specifically here in the district, we've got a Debris Planning and Response Team, or a Debris PRT, and FEMA mission assigns us when the state is unable to recover from disasters that produce an excessive amount of debris. This FEMA will mission assign us to help the state out by removing debris from rights of way or debris from personal property or even commercial property.
Disasters like tornadoes, hurricanes, and wildfires can leave an extreme amount of debris in their wake. For wildfires especially, there's a large debris mission that follows.
When there's wildfires, there's a lot of debris that has to be cleaned up from that.
The wildfire response has really increased. Every year, almost for the last 5 years, we've sent people out on deployments for some sort of wildfire response or recovery. Typically, it's a debris mission that they'll be working after a wildfire.
After a disaster in which there is a significant amount of debris, FEMA instructs the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to help with its removal.
If FEMA asks us to assess damages, then generally those will be Corps of Engineers personnel on the ground out there doing that. So our engineers and other technical specialties are on the ground helping them assess damage, helping them formulate solutions or possibilities for how we could mitigate for those damages.
Because debris missions are typically the largest after a disaster, the recovery phase can last weeks, months, and in some cases, years.
For an ESF3 mission assignment, debris removal is typically the longest mission when it comes to responding to a disaster, and typically it involves the most people, and it's the most expensive. Each disaster is different, and you know we jokingly say, hey, if you've been on one disaster, you've been on one disaster, because they're all so different. We've been on missions as short as 30 days on the debris side, and then we've been also on the debris side, you know, there for 9 months.
The Kansas City District's Debris Planning and Response Team is one of just seven in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers specializing in debris management and is made up of district employees who volunteer to be on the team. All seven debris PRTs take turns deploying to natural disasters. However, members of the Kansas City District's Debris PRT often volunteer even when it's not their turn as a team.
Folks can come from anywhere here in the U.S. and deploy to anywhere here in the U.S. as volunteers.
As natural disasters have become larger, more costly, and longer lasting, the support the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers provides has started to increase.
Our ability to provide support to FEMA under the Stafford Act in ESF3 continues to grow.
Even though deployments are often last minute and can last weeks or even months, for Rick Wechselbaum and his team, volunteering after an emergency or disaster is not an inconvenience, but a calling.
At the end of the day, we want the folks that were impacted by the disaster to be returned back to their pre-disaster way of life as soon as possible.
Thank you for listening to CORE Chronicles, Stories from the Heartland. We hope you learned something new today. Tune in next week to hear the next episode.